This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Who killed John F. Kennedy and why? We're going to give the definitive answer on the show today. What, Chris? What? We're going all in today, baby. All in. I don't have to. Look, I'm not a journalist. I don't have to present facts. I present whatever I feel like presenting. I'll explain in a little bit. Let's talk about a young man by the name of Sam Giancana. This is probably, unless you're a mob fan, this is probably not somebody you've ever heard of in your life, which is stunning. Considering everything that happened in his life and everything that happened because of him and all the powerful people he was connected with and the way it all ended, it is amazing more people have not heard of Sam Giancana. It's stunning everybody's heard of Al Capone. Everybody's heard of Al Capone. Now, I love a good Al Capone story as much as the next man. I'll probably tell his story soon, over the next month or so. But Al Capone was laughed at by his fellow mafia bosses, by his fellow mafia dons. Historically, Al Capone is a punchline. John Gotti, too. Everybody knows John Gotti, the Teflon Don, John Gotti. John Gotti's a punchline. They were the loud, obnoxious ones who burned really bright shortly, and like all the loud, obnoxious ones do, they fade away. The mega powerful ones are the ones people don't talk about unless they're mob fans. Back to Sam. He's born in Chicago, 1918, in Little Italy, and he is born very, very poor. Mother dies when he's very young. His father runs a food stand. You think you know what food stands are like because you've been to a flea market, because you've seen a hot dog stand in New York City. But in big cities back in this time, this was not unique to Chicago, back in this time, weather permitting, food stands were a way of life, especially in the poorer
immigrant communities because they couldn't afford the rent of a shop. So you had to scrape by. Oftentimes you had to pay somebody for the privilege of setting up your food stand in this designated area. And Sam's father sold fruit. I don't think I have to elaborate for you. That's probably tough to feed a family as a single parent selling fruit, whether it be 1918, 2018, or 1418. Not a ton of profit margin in peaches. Sam's father was also horrifically abusive to him. When I say abusive, I mean chaining him to a tree in the backyard, flogging him, and leaving him chained to said tree overnight. This is a man who had a rough upbringing. And Chicago, just so we give you an overview of things, should you be unfamiliar, Chicago is run by one mafia family. One. To this day, there's one. In New York, there are five. You've heard of the five families in New York, five families, and they really are the head of the mafia for the entire country. Virtually all the others work for the New York mafia, kind of. It's hard to explain. Chicago, however, and I've always found this to be very odd because it's such a huge city, Chicago has one and only one, not a second one allowed. And the Chicago one is called the Outfit. Call it the Outfit. They are notorious for a couple different things, one of them being violence. I know what you're thinking right now. Well, yes, Jesse, it's organized crime. Of course they're violent. No, you don't understand. There are levels in everything. It's easy for you and I to point to anybody associated with the mafia or any mob family and say to ourselves, you have a bunch of violent murderers. Not necessarily. There have been a bunch of guys in organized crime who really didn't like killing. There are a bunch of families who really told people stay away from that. They thought it brought too much law enforcement heat. Wasn't a moral stance. And there are some people who weren't really comfortable with it. Again, these are not all psychopathic killers. Some of them most definitely are. And every family employs one or two because you always got to have somebody to take out the trash now and then, so to speak. But it is not the rule that a family is violent. Chicago, overall, their history is extreme violence. I mean violence as in this general era, finding a man who walked into a federal building, assuming he walked into the federal building to rat on the mob for the cops. His name was Action Jackson. That's what they called it. Action, by the way, was gambling action. It wasn't from the movies. The Chicago Mafia sent a man, an insane man, we'll go into his story another time, over to grab this individual. He grabbed Action Jackson, who was huge. He was like 300 pounds, with some friends, took him to, I believe it was a meatpacking plant or a butcher's shop, placed one of those gigantic meat hooks where the sun don't shine, lifted him off the ground, and proceeded to torture him for days. By the way, Action Jackson was not a federal informant. It was all a big misunderstanding. Tortured him for days, and not only did they do this, once they killed him, they left him in a place where he would be publicly found. That is very much the Chicago Mafia. It's rare that you will see the New York Mafia do such things so publicly. Quick side note on that, as a random mafia code thing, it's not uncommon for a member or an associate of the mafia to be called to a federal building. FBI wants to see you, so on and so forth. You don't get killed instantly walking in. You do get killed if you don't tell anybody. You must check in with someone and say, I've been called down, I'm going down. Otherwise, you know what they're thinking when they catch you walking up the steps. Kind of a funny story. There's been a miscommunication on this. They actually outlined this in that Netflix show. Shoot, I forget. Oh, they say you paint houses. There's a Netflix show they made off that book, and I forget exactly what it is. Was that the name of the Netflix show as well, Chris? Look that up. I Heard You Paint Houses was the name of the book. It was a great book about Frank Sheeran. He was this longtime mafia hitman, and he ends up killing a mob guy who was seen going into a federal building. The Netflix movie is called The Irishman. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Anyway, Frank Sheeran, this mafia hitman, talks about a mafia guy he killed who was also seen going into a federal building. Didn't check in with anyone, except, oops, he did check in with somebody, and that somebody forgot to pass the info along. It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. It's a little darkly funny. We can be dark. Anyway. Chicago Outfit, they have a unique thing going. They have a farm system. Hang on.
Stocky. Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
You need to diversify where you put your money. And that can be hard for us. I will admit it was hard for me at first. I don't like change. I don't like moving things around. Well, this has always worked, but understand this. Stocks and bonds don't only grow. Look at the history. How often do I talk about history? Look at the history of the stock market. There is going to be a correction. They thought there was going to be a market correction before all this coronavirus stuff. Now you see what they're talking about? Inflation? Have you seen the news? Of course there's going to be when you print trillions of dollars in unpacked currency, in unbacked currency. You have all these businesses closing, 50 million people unemployed. Just please protect yourself. Get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. Go there now. You don't wake up one day, walk down to the office of the outfit and knock on the door. Secretary lets you in, asks you what you want, and you say, I would like an application. I feel like I'm the right man for the job. Do you have any openings? I know you're going to find that shocking, but that's not how that works in organized crime. You start small. You start outside of the organization and they look at you and try to figure out if you're going to be useful to them. And there are two things that organized crime needs at all times. And oftentimes these are separate people. They need money makers. They need killers. Always. You have to find somebody with the brains to make the money. You have to find a killer who will murder anybody who tries to stop you from doing that thing to make the money. Those are the two ways you can generally get made, as it's called, in the mafia. Are you somebody who makes money for the family? Are you somebody who kills for the family? And in very rare cases, you find somebody who can do both. There was a gang, a street gang in Chicago called the 42s or the 42 Thieves. They were not what you'd expect a normal street gang to be. They did some normal street gang stuff, but in general, they were treated by the Chicago Outfit as a farm team, just like in baseball, not making this up. They would watch the gang, observe it, the gang would give reports, and they would look for young, upcoming stars. Wow, this guy really has a knack for violence. I think we need to bring him in. Ooh, this guy's a moneymaker. Let's give him a longer look. We're talking ages 12, 13 to 25. Young, violent, often directionless, angry young men. They get their eyes on this young man, Sam Giancana, and they see a star. He's a moneymaker, and he's a killer. By the time he's 20 years old, he's already the prime suspect in 3 murders. And those are, again, the ones they know about. If you're the prime suspect in 3 by the time you're 20, you've probably killed 10 by that point in time. But we are talking about Chicago, and we need to take a minute for that, because if you think it's different today, you have another thing coming. Chicago is the most mob-run town in the United States of America, and at this point, early 1900s to mid-1900s, 70s, 60s, Chicago is entirely controlled by the mafia. I used to wash golf clubs a lot, and when you wash golf clubs, you end up talking to a bunch of really rich people from a bunch of different places, and then they put on pro tournaments where you're at. You get to diversify your talking to list, I'll tell you that much. People from all walks of life, all over the country, you get to diversify. And one man who I will not say his role, but he was heavily involved in the golf area of a major Chicago golf course. He and I were talking one day, and he said it was the norm every single day of the week. The Chicago mayor himself would show up for a tee time about 20 minutes before the Chicago mob boss would show up for a tee time, and they would meet out on the third hole so they weren't showing up together and golf for 4 hours a day. That's Chicago. One of the places around Chicago had a mayor, Al Capone, showed up on City Hall in front of the police officers and grabbed the mayor and threw him down the stairs and walked away without getting arrested. That's power. They owned the judges. They owned the politicians. They owned several of the cops. It is as dark as it gets. So when I say prime suspect in 3 murders, oh, he was never charged. Oh, no, he's not going down for that. Well, look, we know he did it, but I mean, come on. Who among us hasn't made a mistake? And he starts working his way up through the outfit. Now, he gets to know a man named Eddie Jones. You don't need to worry about remembering that name. Eddie Jones is a black gangster, not in any way unheard of. Now, it's unheard of for the families. He wouldn't have been part of the mafia families, but both in New York and Chicago, a black gangster was not uncommon. Great history. See, Chris, this is what happens when I get into it. There's a lot of history there that I may or may not find very interesting. One of the things the black gangsters did really, really well was running numbers. They would run, and it was illegal numbers racket. It's illegal gambling, all right? That's the best way I can put it. An illegal lottery, if you will. And Eddie Jones takes in young Sam Giancana and teaches him the ways. Teaches him not only the ways of running numbers, of running, you know, a gambling operation. Teaches him how to run individual establishments. Actually puts Sam, who obviously rises quickly, in charge of one of these establishments. And what does Sam do? In order to show off for the outfit bosses, he promptly murders Jones's prime rival and then walks into Jones's office and says, "Thanks for all the mentoring. You need to kindly leave town now. I just took over everything you have. Goodbye." Jones wisely packed up his stuff and rolled on out of town. Things like this are the reason when they needed a new boss in Chicago, they looked at young Sam Giancana and said, "This is the guy who can make money. It's all about money. Everything is to facilitate making money, even the killing." Boom. Now this young, abused boy is the boss of the Chicago Mafia, the outfit. life is good, right? It would have been if it wasn't for those freaking Kennedys. Now, let's do a little rewind here. John F. Kennedy is in an election against Richard Nixon. This is a close election. Everybody in the country knows it's going to be close. And John F. Kennedy has a gigantic wart on his political resume that is going to keep him out of the Oval Office if he doesn't do something about it or do something to cover it up or get past it. And what is that gigantic wart? He's an Irish Catholic. I know you're probably laughing. I thought that was absurd too when I started learning about it. But Irish Catholic bias in the United States of America was a big, big deal back then. There had never been an Irish Catholic president elected in the United States of America, ever. It was a Protestant nation. It was founded as Protestant. Irish Catholic was, to say looked down upon, would be putting it mildly, not thought highly of. Now, Kennedy's in this election. He kind of should beat Nixon, but the Irish Catholic thing is a big problem. And what he really, really needs is the state of Illinois. Illinois is thought to be going Republican for Nixon, but it's going to be close. Now, let's dwell on the Kennedy family for a moment. Kennedy's father, Jack Kennedy. This, I'll tell you when we go into the rumor area and the non-rumor area, just so we can be clear on what I believe versus what the facts are. It is, well, try to be as delicate as possible here, Chris. You know me. Hang on, I'll explain. Home title theft is sweeping the United States of America. It was bad before all the coronavirus lockdowns. It's only gotten worse. Cybercrime is going up through the roof because everybody is online more, including the criminals. You're at home online more, putting your information out there. The criminals are online more looking for it. And your home title is not a piece of paper anymore. Your home title is digital. It is nothing for these cyber criminals to get their hands on it, forge your signature on it, and get a loan out against it that you have to pay back. Not your home insurance. Obviously not the crook who will be long gone. You do. Or you're going to be evicted from your home. It's happening. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Don't forget to use the promo code Jesse when you get there. Get yourself 30 days free protection. Again, I will tell you when we move from rumor to pretty much established fact, as established as it can be. It is an established fact the Nixon-Kennedy race is going to be very, very close. It's an established fact they needed Illinois. The race would probably be decided in Illinois. And Jack Kennedy had long wanted a son to be president of the United States. Remember, Jack Kennedy was a powerful man. At one point in time, he was one of FDR's ambassadors to England. This dude was a heavy, heavy political hitter. He originally wanted JFK's older brother to be president of the United States. Older brother gets killed. Falls to John. Jack Kennedy is more, though, than just a man with political connections. He's a man with other connections. A man with organized crime connections. And I'm talking running booze into the United States during Prohibition connections. Yeah, those Kennedys. He also knows a man named Frank Sinatra. Maybe you've heard of him. Sinatra had several mafia friends. We are not in the rumor era. This is the fact. He needed Illinois. He needed Illinois for his Irish Catholic son, and he knew if anybody could deliver the votes in Illinois, it would be the mob. Now, how would the mob deliver votes? Yes, there are rumors of them flat out intimidating people at the polls before they go to the polls, but there are also more subtle ways the mob would get votes, rally votes. They would take a local politician and they would do something like buy him brand new office furniture. Now, you laugh at that. You roll your eyes at that probably. Have you ever been in maybe a crappy low-level government job? Or in some kind of startup company. Ever been in a startup company? I certainly have. The chairs are rickety. The desk sucks. You can't even afford a little beer fridge for the office to keep your lunch cold until you warm it up in the $20 nuker you bought. It's a quality of life issue. Somebody shows up one day with brand new desks, full fridge, installs a stove in the office so you can cook there. It does make everything in your life better. That's what they would do. They would also give what they would call walking around money. They'd hand bags of cash to mob guys who would hand them out and flat out tell you to vote a certain way. And there are wards in Chicago where the mob controlled everything, the unions and everything else. They went all in for John F. Kennedy because why not have the President of the United States of America owing you some favors? We know this. We also know JFK won the entire state of Illinois, where there are 3 million voters. He won it by 10,000 votes. He beat Richard Nixon nationally by 0.1%. Sam Giancana, and it wasn't just Giancana, there were a lot of powerful, powerful mob figures in this country who felt one. They were responsible for JFK getting elected. They were caught on wiretaps saying this several times. We got him elected. One, they felt responsible for it. And two, they felt they would finally get JFK's younger brother off their backs. And what do I mean about off their backs? I mean this. There was this thing called the McClellan hearings. Bobby Kennedy was the main voice in these McClellan hearings, and what the McClellan hearings were frankly the Brett Kavanaugh show trial and the O.J. Simpson trial all rolled up into one in terms of popularity in the United States of America. Americans, every culture is obsessed with criminals, especially kind of dashing criminals, daring criminals. No one likes the scummy guy, but he's in a suit and drives a fancy car. And sure, he sticks an ice pick in people's ears, but I want to hear what he does. Well, the mafia gets the lid blown off it, and they have McClellan hearings where they haul the most powerful mafia guys in the country on camera in front of Congress, and they get grilled by people like Bobby Kennedy. And this is where, now we're moving into the rumor mill portion, this is where a lot of people believe he began to sign his brother's death warrant. When he hauled these mob guys in front of him on camera, these guys were people who had never been on camera before, didn't want to be seen on camera. He would haul them in front of him, and he would flat out embarrass some of the most powerful men in the United States of America. To Giancana personally, Giancana would just laugh and take the Fifth Amendment every time Bobby Kennedy said something to him. There's still audio of this you can catch to this day. Bobby Kennedy said to him, "Are you just going to giggle like that? I thought only little girls giggled like that." I don't think I have to tell you how well that went over with a powerful mob boss who would snap his fingers and have you killed. He was livid. Now, You get his older brother elected president. And all I can do is say what we all assume at this point in time. I'm assuming there were some assurances, and the mob guys said there were assurances, but again, we don't know this. I'm assuming there were some assurances. Okay, we got John F. Kennedy elected president. This Bobby Kennedy guy is going to back off now because this has to stop. We want to be left alone. JFK gets elected president of the United States of America and promptly appoints his younger, mob-hating brother, Bobby Kennedy, as attorney freaking general of America. Bobby Kennedy took this very, 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 very seriously. And when I say very seriously, I mean, there were 10 FBI agents in all of Chicago when Bobby Kennedy took over. Immediately, there were 60. Immediately, they began wiretapping people, which is something they hadn't done before and didn't have the authority to do, except Bobby Kennedy decided to designate organized crime as a national security risk, giving him the authority to track these guys down. And he's harassing them, endlessly harassing them. He has Sam Giancana followed everywhere. He has him followed to his mother's or to his girlfriend's house. Has him followed to his golf course. And I don't mean follow distant. The FBI would be right on his tail harassing him. The FBI actually bugged the room, the hotel room of his girlfriend, and let's dwell on her for a minute. Giancana was dating a woman, a total dime, by the way, named Phyllis McGuire. She was a famous singer, and the mob guys hated that he was messing around with a famous person. You didn't do that in the mob. It brought heat. They're all over Giancana, and Giancana loses his mind. Now, let's step into conspiracy theory land for a moment, which is one I always have believed. You've heard me talk about it before. Lee Harvey Oswald, you know the name, obviously. His uncle was a bookmaker. A bookmaker for who? Carlos Marcello, the godfather of the New Orleans Mafia. The man who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, a Mr. Jack Ruby. Guess who he was connected to? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
I have been that veteran, fresh back from combat, out in the world, who went to work all day, got by. When the day was done, I used to go back to my apartment that I had by myself, shut out all the lights, close all the blinds, and sit there in the dark. When you come back from things, sometimes you need help, and I will tell you, you don't feel like anybody understands, and it's real easy to reach for the bottle of booze, bottle of pills. Warrior's Heart Foundation is finding these veterans and taking them in and getting them back on their feet. They have a 40-bed, 543-acre ranch that's helping veterans. It's a 501c3. Go to warriorsheart.com/the first. Or call 866-950-0636 if you're hurting.
Jesse Kelly.
Jack Ruby, the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald. He owned a Dallas strip club. Turns out it was a chain of strip clubs run by New Orleans mafia boss Carlos Marcello. Now, what's the connection behind all this? Cuba. Let's go to Cuba for a moment. The mafia pre-Castro, when Batista was in charge of Cuba, the mafia made a fortune in Cuba. America made a fortune in Cuba. You see, we were kind of a, what's a nice way to put this? Kind of a protectorate of Cuba pre-Castro. Cuba had a huge sugar crop. We love sugar here in America. Cuba's a beautiful vacation destination, so I hear. I don't know. I clearly haven't been in my lifetime. It's supposed to be beautiful down there. The mafia, casinos, right up their alley. Alcohol, gambling, women, right up mafia alley. It was tropical Las Vegas, apparently, from what I hear. Again, I didn't experience it, and neither will you. Apparently, it was beautiful, and the mafia was killing it down there. In comes Fidel Castro. Communist takeover of the nation instantly kicks all the mob guys and Americans out of Cuba. Nationalizes everything. You're gone. You know, commies doing commie things. America is furious about this for two different reasons. Very concerned about the spread of communism at this time. Castro had all kinds of ties, obviously, to the Soviet Union, and very concerned, don't discount this, it wasn't all about the patriotism and no more commies, very concerned about the money that is no longer coming in. They want Castro dead. If you want somebody killed in a place they're familiar with, it's probably not a bad idea to get a hold of the American mafia. They did. They got a hold of people like Sam Giancana, Santo Traficante, who was the head of the Florida mob, and Carlos Marcello, and others, I'm sure. This is just, I can only hit the 30,000-foot view because they weren't taking meeting minutes when the American CIA was meeting with the mob. Help us kill Castro. There was a connection there, a big-time connection there. We're going to set that aside for a moment. Back to the assassination. It is common, a common thing for the mafia to use a borderline insane person as a patsy to murder somebody else. They did it when they killed Joe Colombo. The mob killed Joe Colombo. It was an actual insane black dude who pulled the trigger. This is what they do. Apparently, it was something they perfected in Sicily. Lee Harvey Oswald pulls the trigger. And then, miraculously, and I realize we're in the rumor area here, but come on. Lee Harvey Oswald pulls the trigger and then gets killed by a mafia-connected Jack Ruby while being transferred. You really expect me to believe that? And Jack Ruby, who'd spent his life as a mafia hanger-on, a mafia wannabe, a mafia-connected guy, just stands up and says, I was just overwhelmed with patriotism. Get serious. I'll never believe that in a million years. Now we bring in the part where people say the CIA helped the mob do it because JFK was talking about breaking up the CIA after the failed Bay of Pigs things. That's where JFK dropped that famous line, I'm going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter them to the winds. I don't know about that. I do know this as somebody who geeks out on mafia history, and I've read every biography you can possibly get your hands on. I obviously don't have documentation, but there is a mountain of evidence the mafia was involved in the killing of John F. Kennedy. A mountain of it. John F. Kennedy dies. LBJ and Bobby Kennedy despise each other. Within a year, Bobby Kennedy's out. Should also be noted, post-Kennedy's killing, Bobby Kennedy, seen by several friends and family members, blaming himself for the death of his brother. Why do you think that is? All right, that's it, Chris. I'm done with the conspiracy theory stuff today. I'm going to get back to Sam. This is one of those things that blows me away. Maybe because I've read too much on it. It's one of those things that blows me away that it's not more commonly thought of. As far as conspiracy goes, it has more legs on it than you can possibly imagine. I mean, come on. Everybody involved in the killing and then the killing of the killer is attached to the mob. Come on. The mob hated him. The mob did help get JFK elected. After Giancana's death, Santo Trafficante was caught on wiretap talking to Carlos Marcella, saying, now there are only two people who know who killed Kennedy, and they ain't talking. Not making it up. That happened. Hang on. Atlantic Flag and Pool prioritizes something that I prioritize big time. Made in America. You've heard me talk to you about this a million times on the show. I used to never care. I used to blow it off, and I wish I had. Who cares if it's made in China? I care now. Look at what China has done to us. Let's start funding American jobs with American businesses. Atlantic Flag and Pool, it's a small family business full of patriots, and they have one goal: to get an American flag flying in every single yard in the United States of America. That's really cool. With American-made aluminum. And they have a really cool design as well. It's easy to install, and the flag doesn't get bunched up. It swivels around, so you never have to go out and unfurl the flag. Go to AtlanticFlagPole.com. That's AtlanticFlagPole.com. Don't forget to enter the discount code Jesse. Gets you 10% off your flagpole. One final item. Have you heard the Campisi family? Campisi family was the Dallas Mafia family at the time. Guess who Jack Ruby had dinner with the night before? The number two man in the Campisi family. All right, that's it. I'm going to let it go. Back to Giancana. They're still after him. They're after him hard. This is post-JFK death. They decide they have a plan. They can't nail Giancana on anything. He was too slick for that. But they think they can pressure him into doing something. So they come up with what is kind of brilliant, and at the same time, a little dirty. Sometimes you find yourself when you're digging into these mafia stories thinking, man, that's kind of a dirty move by the government. They shouldn't be doing that, which is a terrible way to think. Hang on, I'll explain.
Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Justice Department comes up with a plan, and the plan is dark and devious and brilliant. They're going to bring in a bunch of people Sam Giancana knows inside a grand jury, you know, totally sealed, totally private. and force them to testify about various things. So it's going to make him awfully, awfully nervous, trying to rattle him. They're even going to bring in his girlfriend, Phyllis McGuire. Then they're going to bring in Giancana, and they're going to offer him, get this, blanket immunity for everything he's ever done if he testifies. Now, you may be thinking, that's insane. What are they thinking? Well, there was a bunch of arguing about that, but the thinking went, this is a man who held to the mafia code of silence. If you offer him blanket immunity, he can't do what he's been doing the whole time, take the Fifth Amendment, because you're not incriminating yourself. You have immunity for everything. So you've given him the option. Either you accept and testify, or you again refuse to testify. Now you're in contempt of court. And that's, of course, what Sam Giancana did. And this is one of the first times the country had seen this. He refused to testify. They promptly locked him away in a Cook County jail. Country starts freaking out. The mob guys. Sam Giancana, the rumor was not taking well to jail. And he was always a bit of a louder Don. Again, dating famous singers, bouncing around the country, European vacations. He didn't take well to jail. By the time he gets out of jail, fair or not, the mafia bosses in the country decided that's about enough, Sam Giancana. However, he must have either just been powerful enough or had enough friends or... maybe because he hadn't ratted on anybody, they offered him a retirement package. How about that? Little golden parachute from the mob, Chris. No big deal. Got a severance package. They let him just go away. Retire. Retire rich. Keep your money, but go away. And Sam Giancana does. He goes away. He retires to what I'm told, I have never seen pictures of it, what I'm told is a beautiful Mexican villa. He retires to Mexico. Retires to a Mexican villa, chilling out. I'm totally guessing here. I'm guessing he's got a little Mexican maid, probably Mexican chef, probably got some Mexican dudes doing the lawn. House of servants, a guy that wealthy, especially at this point in time, is going to be able to live pretty well in Mexico because the dollar is going to go a long way. Doing pretty well for himself. But there's a problem. Remember when we talked about the CIA and the mafia being involved with each other in the Bay of Pigs? We pretty much know that. The country starts to get a little antsy. There still aren't solid answers about what happened to JFK, and the country's starting to ask questions about just what kind of a role did the CIA have? Did they have a role? These were real questions being asked. This wasn't conspiracy theory stuff. Again, I'm not the one bringing this up. The country was all, wait a minute, this looks really bad. You know what we need? We need Sam Giancana back here under another grand jury to testify. Well, Sam Giancana's in Mexico. America and Mexico are joined. Always have been, always will be. We share a long border. We need each other. It doesn't take a lot if we really, really want something to put pressure on the Mexican government to get them to do something. Why do you think Trump's been so successful slowing down illegal immigration on the border? He started using that leverage. They used the leverage again. Sooner or later, Mexican armies knocking on Sam Giancana's door. Pack up your stuff. You're leaving our country. We want you gone. Guess who was waiting for Sam Giancana with open arms when he hits the United States of America? That's right, the DOJ. The Chicago outfit, the mafia in general, at this point considered him to be a massive liability. They thought he was too weak. They worried he would break under testimony. So one night, Sam Giancana in his home in Chicago before his grand jury. I believe it was the night before. Don't quote me on that. Before his grand jury is cooking up sausage and peppers over the stove, somebody, we will never know who, knocks on the door, and it's somebody Sam Giancana knew very well because he let this person in and let them in without any struggle and then turned back around to his sausage and peppers, turning his back on the person. That was the last thing he ever did. He was promptly shot in the back of the head and then rolled over and given six more shots to his face. That is important. That is a message. And to back to the subject of the he knew the guy thing, that is commonplace in the American mafia. If you've seen enough movies, let alone read the books about it and things like that, that's what they would do if they're ever going to kill one of their own. They pick your best friend and they send him over to your house so you won't ever suspect him at all. I told you about that book. I heard you paint houses. And of course, they made the Netflix movie over it. And the guy talks about, Frank Sheeran talks about killing Jimmy Hoffa in it. And of course, they show it in the movie. I'm sorry if I spoiled it for you, but it's been out for like 2 years. It's on you by this point in time if you haven't seen it. And why did they use Frank Sheeran? Because he was Hoffa's best friend and Hoffa was never going to expect it at all. That's how things are done. And that is the story of Sam Giancana and one of, if not the most powerful mafia bosses ever, and the man who possibly took out the president of the United States of America. It can be easy. It is the easiest thing when you're in power to feel like it's going to last forever, to feel invincible, because we all get used to that, don't we? Don't we? If that's all you've ever known, it's power over this, power over that, it can be so easy to feel invincible. And for a time, you can be. And maybe your whole life you will be, and maybe the next guy will be, and maybe the next guy will be. But history shows us for a fact, there is a shelf life on power. There is. And when that expiration date comes, it can be a shock to the person who's only ever known it. What are you thinking if you're Bobby Kennedy and you're publicly embarrassing the highest levels of power of organized crime, mocking them to their faces, attacking them, destroying them? What you're thinking is this. Well, you're thinking two things. One, I want to get elected to high, high office when my brother's done with it. And two, what can they do to me? Be careful with that thinking.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.